Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Syrma SGS Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Joshi.
Yeah. Thanks, Tanvi. Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to Syrma SGS Technology Q2 FY23 and H1 FY23 earnings call. I would like to welcome the senior management from Syrma SGS Technology and thank them for the opportunity. Now I hand over the conference call to Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Head of Investor Relations from Syrma. Thanks, and over to you, Mr. Nikhil.
Yeah. Thank you, Aniruddha. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to Syrma SGS H1 Financial Year 23 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Sandeep Tandon, Chairman, Syrma SGS, Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Doshi, Director, and Mr. Bijay Agrawal, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the performance of the company during the first half year of the fiscal 2023, followed by a detailed Q&A. To note, during this call, certain statements that will be made are forward-looking, which involve several risks, uncertainties, assumptions, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements made herein are based on the information presently available to the management, and the company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statements that may be made during this call. In this regard, please do review the disclaimer statements in the investor release and all other factors that can cause the difference. I now hand over the call to our Chairman, Mr. Sandeep Tandon. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nikhil. Thank you, Aniruddha and ICICI for hosting this. Thank you all for joining the call. This is our first analyst call post the IPO. Before we jump in, I would like to introduce Syrma SGS and actually the lineage and the legacy we come from. My father actually had started the first electronics manufacturing export unit in India, and we actually were fortunate enough to build the first floppy drive that went into the first IBM PC. We have tremendous experience of electronics manufacturing and especially the unique opportunities and challenges India offers. You know, in addition to IBM, back in 1978, we also have served a long slew of customers like Apple, Dell, with various electronic needs. You know, in 2000, China was the person, as a government, they had made a very strong move to, you know, move electronic manufacturing to their shores. With this, they gave various incentives and capital subsidies and other subsidies that actually made India not a viable option for manufacturing. You know, our government also didn't have clarity what we wanted to do. At that time, this opportunity, which had actually helped the growth of most of our Southeast and Far East neighbors like Japan and others grow, this electronics manufacturing ended up being a playhouse for China. You can see the growth they saw since 2000 onwards. This changed. I mean, with the, you know, we started Syrma SGS as a new avatar, and this changed with the pandemic. I mean, the pandemic has really changed that look. In addition to the pandemic, the various geopolitical relationships have actually geopolitical relationships as well as China's own aspirations have changed. That has opened up the space for India to take a leadership in electronics manufacturing. As you know, this is a huge industry, and we have barely even touched the surface of this industry. This pandemic, this change in attitude has actually helped create an equivalent of what I would like to call a Y2K moment. What Y2K did for IT services, this pandemic and geopolitical situation has created for electronics manufacturing services. Because suddenly, this put a huge spotlight on India from all the major MNCs to, you know, have an Indian sourcing strategy. They were already. They're very well accustomed to using India for their design strategies, but this has really helped in putting an attention to the manufacturing strategy. So that is something that has really helped. And you know, we have always had the genetics or the DNA to be able to do exports. So that has really helped us in being able to address these needs of these customers. We submitted our numbers yesterday. That to me is just a forensic study of what we are doing. But more than anything, what we are seeing on the ground is what the numbers you saw is actually from effort that was done close to 18 months back. So what we are seeing effort on the ground right now with all the interest that we are getting, we are seeing a lot of interest and from export as well as domestic customers to meet the manufacturing and design needs of our customers to build their product. In our industry, of course, as you know, cost and quality or hygiene, you have to meet those. We don't have luxuries like software industry that you can send an update over the cloud. We have to make sure our product works every time. So those are things that we really strive and build on, that we have to have super quality, super price. And, you know, we also, in addition to building the product, we also entirely manage the supply chain of this product. And that, as you know, has been a huge challenge last 2 years. There's been a huge challenge with all the constraints that are there. But despite that, I mean, I must hand it to our team. We were able to, meet our customers' needs, which is what is most important to us, is being customer-focused and meeting their needs. And we've been able to do that and continue to be at zero defect levels. We have delivered a lot of growth, and in addition to that, we've also activated two new facilities. The facilities have not yet provided the growth yet. The numbers are still happening. It takes time to get these facilities ready and going. And of course, the costs come first and the benefits come later. So we want you to be aware of that. We continue to have strong customer interest in helping design. What trends we are seeing in design from a customer side is more sustainable footprints, so a lot of designs on the power systems that can help make them more efficient. Then the second thesis we are seeing is more intelligence in the systems, that is adding more sensors or IoTs, which is Internet of Things, more intelligence into the systems. So those are also creating some design wins for us to be able to add more value to our customers. And of course, the organic growth continues to grow. There is demand reduction from Europe, or mainly I think it's the uncertainty of energy crisis of Europe, which is causing a lot of supply chain issues or even on customer pickup. But we strongly believe that the interest and the value that we offer our customers will continue to be continue to help support us. And you know, I don't believe we look at our business quarter to quarter. So what I'm seeing today as forecasts in the space is very, very encouraging in the growth that we're seeing. So thank you for the support that you're giving, and thank you for listening to us. We strongly believe that this industry itself can be a very strong pillar for our nation to meet our GDP growth targets, and also provide the kind of level of depth of inclusion, because manufacturing will provide that for the nation. So thank you again, and hand it back to you, Nikhil.
Thank you, sir. Now I hand over to Mr. J.S. Gujral, our Managing Director. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on our first ever earning call post-listing in August. Building on what Sandeep ji just shared with you, the environment for electronic manufacturing has never been as good as it is today. And we are fortunate to be present at this cusp of transformation of the electronic manufacturing. And we have our plans ready. The CapEx cycle has started. And as Sandeep explained to you, the CapEx cycle reaching its optimum stage would take a quarter or two quarters. So while the CapEx and the cost attendant to it are factored in the financials for the half year ended September 22, the full potential of the CapEx will be reflected in the coming quarters, which would reduce the operating cost as a percentage of sales. Now, taking you through the broad financials, we have registered 147% year-on-year growth to 867 crores on a consolidated basis. And on a pro forma basis, if we were to consolidate all the subsidiaries for the last year, it's a healthy 46% growth, higher than the industry growth witnessed in this half year. Profits have also continued to grow at a healthy pace, and our EBITDA is up on a pro forma basis 35%, on a consolidated basis 164% to 91 crores, almost in line with what we had budgeted. Similarly, our profit is also in line with what we had budgeted. Our EBITDA margins are at 10.5%, which is superior to what the industry is witnessing. There's been a broad secular growth across industrial sectors, automotive being slightly more, and hence our material gross margin is what we projected at about 30-odd percent in our financials, and that's what we are having it today. One factor which I would like to highlight to you is that there are certain non-cash expenses, non-operating expenses, which have been factored in the P&L, which is related to ESOPs and Forex M2M losses, which will get neutralized in the coming quarters. So if we were to adjust that, the cash PAT would be 61 crores for the half year ended September 22. Our ODM business continues to grow at a healthy pace, and it accounted for approximately 27% of our total revenues. We have till September spent approximately 120 crores in the capex cycle, and all the senior management teams are being strengthened to make the organization future ready for the sort of a huge industrial growth which we foresee in the coming years, especially for the next 3-4 years. So we are making the organization, the systems, and the infrastructure ready so that we cash in on the emerging opportunities. We are seeing huge traction from global players, both for domestic and export. Exports in the short term looks soft, so it will be growing at a decent pace, but not matching the pace at which the domestic business would be growing.
Okay.
As an organization, we are focusing on design-led manufacturing. That has been our motto and DNA, as Sandeep just explained to you. And we believe and we are confident that going forward, will be able to match the industry growth rate with decent profit margins. I now hand it over to Bijay, our Chief Financial Officer, to through the detailed financials. Thank you very much.
Yeah, hi. Thank you everyone for joining this first earnings call of Syrma. I'll now quickly take you through the financials, brief financials. On a consolidated basis, my revenue has grown up by almost 147%. On a pro forma basis, revenue has grown by 46%. Gross margin for this period is about 30.8%, which is about 70 basis points higher than the previous year on a pro forma consolidated basis. EBITDA for this first half year is 91.1 crore, a growth of approximately 164% over consolidated numbers and 35% on a pro forma consolidated basis. Despite the ongoing global issues, we are able to control our costs and been able to deliver this EBITDA. Coming to PBT, it has grown by almost 145% on a consolidated basis and 24% on a pro forma consolidated basis. Please note that as Gujralji has already explained, in this PBT we have certain provisions related to ESOP and Forex M2M, which is also factored in over here. Coming to PAT, our half-year PAT has grew to 46 crore, which is 135% on a consolidated basis increase On a pro forma consolidated basis, this has increased to 22%. If we talk about treasury, currently treasury in hand is more than 3900 crores, and this is mainly because of the IPO money which we have received. A very smaller portion of it, around 11 crore, is utilized so far, and rest is still there as an investment to the FDs. On the debt side, our total debt as on 30th September 2022 is 298 crores. On CapEx, as explained by Gujralji, we had spent approximately 120 crores near about till date, and also have plans to spend around 80 to 90 crores further in the coming second half of this financial year, seeing our CapEx plans. Working capital side, our net working capital investment as on 30th September is approximately 376 crores, which comes around 80 days of sales. So it is slightly lower than pro forma consolidated basis numbers of corresponding period previously, about 3 to 4 days. But yes, we still continue to target a lower working capital number. And as and when, as Gujralji has explained, with respect to our new capex, as we see that volume ramp up, this number of overall net working capital days should come further going forward. Thank you very much for this. And now we are open to any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi and good afternoon, team. My first question is to understand a bit more in terms of the RFID portfolio, which is a reasonably differentiated portfolio which Sigma has. What has been the performance of that segment in terms of revenue growth and gross margins? And also, aligned with this, if you can highlight, do we perceive any impact on the business, especially with the impending slowdown, which has been expected in the US and the European market on our exports portfolio? This is the first question.
RFID business has grown at approximately 33% during the first 6 months, slightly softer than the EMS growth, but that is because the EMS industry in India, the domestic demand is simply ballooning. And we expect that this sustenance of growth in the RFID sector in the medium to long run. Short term, there could be some softening because of the energy crisis in Europe and the reduction in the discretionary spend. If I was to talk of in absolute numbers, or this business, this leg of the business has grown from 140 to 186 crores during this period. I hope that answers your question.
Sure. And so the impact of the slowdown in the European or the US market would be only on this portfolio, or it could be in any of the other segments of the exports of EMS as well?
In general, there is a softening of the growth. I wouldn't say there is a reduction, but there is a softening of the growth which we had projected, which we believe is for maybe 2 quarters, or I don't know, it's just a geopolitical situation. But because of the diversified portfolio which we have, it would be compensated by other segments of the business, which is the domestic-led business.
Got it.
So we do not see the export business impacting our overall plan for this year in terms of revenues.
Sir, in this context, would it be possible for you to share guidance, if any, for fiscal 23 as a year as a whole? We have already done for first half in terms of sales and EBITDA margin.
See, that will be... I think whether I'm permitted or not, but let's put it this way, if the industry is growing at 40% and we believe we are one of the best in the industry, So we should be able to exceed that growth margin, growth target.
And maintaining this 10 to 11% EBITDA margins, or we expect operating leverage to kick in and margins to expand further?
I would be conservative in my estimation. If any operational benefits kick in and all that, that will count the chickens after the year end. Today I would maintain over thing of double digit margins going forward in the short term.
Sure. So the second question would be, when we look at multiple sectors where we have received PLI licenses under various schemes, so if you can share any update in terms of how is the status of CAPEX across some of these segments, and how far are we in terms of adding new customers which would be driving revenues in the PLI link sector for us?
Okay. We have received two PLI applications in the telecom and the white good air conditioning sector. As of date, the telecom PLI investments are on track. Our new facility at Manesar has been commissioned. It has gone into production in the second quarter of this year. And we expect a huge traction in that business going forward in the coming quarters. The air conditioning PLI or products are under validation, and it would be some quarters before we see whether we will be making the investments and how it sort of takes off. We'll cross the bridge when it comes. But we have developed the product for the Indian market, both inverter and non-inverter, which are what you call under validation. And because in India, the electronic manufacturing of air conditioning controls is at a very minuscule level. So there are challenges in getting very effective pricing from the chip manufacturers compared to the big daddies working out of China. So working on it, clarity will emerge maybe Q1 of 23 or somewhere around that. But on telecom, we are very bullish. The investments are on track and the business is also on track.
Got it. And last question, if I can. There's a bookkeeping to Vijay. If you can quantify what has been the ESOP charge in the current quarter and the FX impact as well in P&L.
So in the current first half of this year, total ESOP impact is about 3.9 crore. And similar way, if I talk about Forex M2M, total M2M loss impact is 6.7 crore, but that is segregated in two different parts. Partly it is reflecting into my finance charge, which is about 3.4 crore, and 3.3 crore another is reflecting into my other expenses.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Keshav Paradia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So I just had a two-part question. First, if you could give a order book breakup across industries, and also the revenue breakup across industries for both H1 and Q2.
Okay. On the order book, as of date, I have the broad figures. I'll ask Vijay to pull out the industry-wise. We have an order book of 1,700 plus crores as of the month end, which is September. It would be spread across automotive, industrial, healthcare, and telecom. The detailed breakup, I think we can share it offline with you. But the order book is about 1,700 plus crores as of September.
And so far as the quarter two revenue is around 467 crores versus H1 revenue of 856 crores net revenue.
Fairly secular sort of thing. And we now expect that the Q3 and Q4 would be having a higher gradient of growth than Q1 and Q2 because of the CAPEX cycle which we have incurred till September.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's very helpful. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate PMs. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, what what would be your capacity utilization in this quarter?
The capacity utilization of the plants which were there earlier till March would be approximately 75% to 80% on an average. The new plants which have been commissioned during this year, they would be working at less than 50% capacity.
Okay, so basically, like when you say that, what would be the capacity which you would have commissioned post March? Like what percentage of
post March till September we have commissioned? We calculate the capacities in terms of the SMT line. So we have commissioned high speed line, and 2-3 more are in the process of being set up now. They are under transit. So one line we just got it last month, which is just September. So that's the thing.
So you said 5 lines earlier and 3 lines are yet getting commissioned, right?
See, yeah. 2 lines, one line was commissioned somewhere in June, July. The second line was received in September. It has been commissioned post that. Series production has to start. 3 lines are under transit or custom clearance, should be with us by in November or December and will be commissioned in January. So if I was to take the overall lines which are going to be with us till December or January, we would be working at about a 50% capacity.
Okay. So that is why you are saying third quarter and fourth quarter will see a because now you have the capacities lined up.
Absolutely. You are right.
Okay. And secondly, sir, if I see your basically setups, in terms of the setup, you have a R&D center in Germany as well. So it is primarily for the RFID related products or it is also for the EMS business?
Okay. It is primarily for the EMS. RFID, we are now adding on to it. It is primarily for the EMS. And this center has been there since 2008. It is primarily to give comfort to the European customers and be nearer to the customer to take care of their design requirements. So they get the concept from there and then it is transferred back to India and the detailed manpower and legwork and everything is done in India. So it's more of a concept and delivery center to the European customer.
Okay, but then this is largely to cater the export market.
Primarily to cater to the export market, yes. Absolutely, you're right.
Okay, perfect, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Binde from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to understand your outlook on the movement in networking capital as mentioned in the opening remark, that you are expecting it to go down. So what are the levers for it? And do we have any receivable factoring in this?
We don't factor over receivables as of yet, any significant amount. It is very negligible. Going forward, it is once we are building up the scale, A. Number two, the supply chain constraints easing out. We expect that it will be a glided sort of trajectory to bring the net working capital level to below 70 days over the next couple of quarters or three quarters. As you are aware, the last 4-5 quarters, as Sandeep was also referring to in his opening statement, we have never seen such shortages in semiconductors and electronics, with lead times stretching to even 96 weeks, which forced us to take a conscious call to stock up inventory to meet the customer requirement. And I must share with you that we are single source to a lot of customers. So we didn't want a customer's line to stop. So it was a conscious decision of the management to stock, safety stock, the raw material and components to ensure the lines are running or at the customer end. With the semiconductor shortage easing, volumes growing up, it is a natural factor that the number of days working capital would come down. Also a conscious focus of the management now with the easing of the component shortage to sort of have a more efficient system. we have put in place HANA S4, which also would facilitate us once it is matured in a better inventory management.
And the second question that I had was, if I understand, you have 5 main industries, industrial, consumer, automotive, healthcare and others. So which one is firing right now more? I mean, I'm sure when you're saying 40% growth, all are doing good. But I mean, if you have to rank them, how would the industry be in the order?
In domestic, automotive is on fire. Automotive industry is looking, is witnessing the highest growth rate. This is coupled, sort of largely aided by the EV revolution which is taking place in the two-wheeler segment, not so much in the four-wheeler segment. So both EV and combustion are growing at almost, like automotive, for example, for the half year grew at about 70-odd%, 65-70-odd%. Followed by consumer and then healthcare and other industries.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Sir, just one, if I can have one follow-up on this. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, in terms of the SMT lines that you have put up and the capex that you have invested, are these lines fungible across the five types of customers that you highlighted in the BBD? So are they fungible?
You see, in capex, manufacturing capex, the main heart and soul is the SMT and the wave soldering assembly. Only dedicated is the functional testing.
Great.
So if I was to say 100 rupees capex, 90 rupees is fungible, 90 to 95 rupees is fungible, 5 rupees would be dedicated to the functional testing of the product which we make for the customer.
Right, got it. So, industry dynamics changing would not affect much on utilization that way then?
It would not.
Yeah, those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirmal Gopi from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So I just saw that over time, you know, the imports, there's been an increasing reliance of imports for raw materials over the years. So is that expected to increase going forward, or and in turn, is that going to keep pressure on the margins?
See, India as a country has currently a negligible electronic component base. So the electronic components by and large have to be imported. Now what we believe and what we are witnessing is that once the electronic manufacturing industry in the country grows as it is growing currently, it will attract investment in assembly and sort of manufacturing of electronic components. And I'm not referring to the semicon policy, which is the big policy of the government of India to have the fab lab. I am talking of the normal components, the passive components like capacitors, resistors. Currently, India didn't have a demand which justifies the setting up of a component base. Now, with the growth in the electronic manufacturing which we are witnessing, it is but natural that the component manufacturing base would come in. As an analogy, I would say when Maruti came in, there was hardly any automotive component base in India. But Maruti or Suzuki at that point of time revolutionized the whole thing. And today India has a very, very strong automotive component base compared to the best in the world. We believe that going forward, though it's not a short-term sort of low fruit hanging, it's a long harvest, going forward the component base would naturally come up in India once the electronic manufacturing goes up. Your second question was on margins because of imports. Well, we have sort of arrangements and contracts with the customers where margins are and the foreign exchange variations are absorbed by the customer. And since we have our export content also, so to that extent, it also gives us a natural hedge of currency.
All right, that's very clear. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Great set of numbers. So my question is on any inorganic growth, which we would be looking out for. So any
can't hear you. Can you
speak a bit loudly, please?
Hello. Am I audible?
Now it's okay.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, my question is on the inorganic growth opportunities. If anything in the near future, and your thoughts on the same. And how would inorganic contribute, in the growth in the coming years?
Sandeep, I would request you to take that.
Yeah, so like we said when we were going public, we have not. it's going to be very opportunistically determined by a technology vertical or a customer request to be geographically closer to them. So those are the two things that we look at. We are, we as a nature and culturally, we are very strong in looking and understanding what is needed for our customers and for our technological growth. So we constantly are looking at opportunities, but as of now, there's nothing that we would like to discuss. But, we are very, 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 very open and always seeing ideas that exist that can help us make better relationships with our customers.
Okay, so if at all we acquire a company, would that be limited to PCBs and RFIDs, or it can be some other product as well?
So we'll be definitely seeing a huge opportunity for full box build assemblies also. So there might be requirements for bringing some technologies that can complete the box build or backward integration, as well as box build as in forward integration. So both are opportunities we are looking at. And of course, like I said, technology. When I say we talk IoT, not RFID, is just one technology. So maybe adding to that IoT so that more intelligence can be added to the systems, as well as being geographically closer to the customer if that's so required.
Okay, and by geographically you mean both in India as well as outside India?
Both.
Okay. Does logistics play a very critical role in this, being closer to the customer?
It's logistics as well as politics, right? I mean, when it's overseas, then politics also plays a role. Mm-hmm. So those are the things we have to be very, we're very, very cautious because, running operations, new plants just for one customer is always. So we're very careful in that. But if there's a customer acquisition that we get because of that, it could be very interesting. And, typically we are always looking at whatever is EBITDA accretive, right? What will add to our EBITDA if it's geography movement or a technology movement.
Got it. And so my second question is on this commentary you mentioned in the press release about this demand slowdown which might happen. So so how are the schedules of the customers? So when they give you an order, so when does that product go into their production line? So where are you there in the entire production chain? And secondly, is there any change in terms of the order size, what they were giving, or the timeline? Have they extended anything?
So every customer is different. I mean, Gujralji, you want to answer it, but it's not one answer for all customers. They're very different customers, different stories. But generally, if you were to see geographically, Europe, we are seeing because of the energy situation, there's muted demand for this quarter, which they have definitely not. They're just saying push it out, this quarter. That's the only little bit we are seeing. But a lot of customers are asking for accelerated supplies. But within our supply chain challenges, right, that we see, most customers are even afraid to reduce. Because supply chain challenges are also at the same time existing. So if you slow down, then you don't have, you don't get back in the queue. So it's a challenging situation, but yeah, I don't see, I mean, to answer your question, most customers, your question was also how the delivery works. That depends on where you fit in the value of the product, right? If you're doing full box build, then they want it at the end, this last time possible, as close to the customer as possible. If you are sitting as a C-class item, they'll build up inventory and ask you to ship as much as possible so that they don't lose out. So it depends where you, where a product finally goes. But we are in various different stages of that, right? When we
Where you are on the inventory side, are you seeing any destocking from the customer end?
There's the slowdown, right? Because they're saying, well, we don't know if our plants will run full capacity during the winter because of energy situations.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on your listing. Wanted to ask you, in the interim, this industry obviously has strong industry tailwinds. But let's say over a longer period of time, how scalable is this business considering where our high mix, low volume kind of business model? Compared to, let's say, a larger EMS listed player?
You see, what we are talking in numbers of, say, we did 800 crores or 1200 crores of or whatever, this is not, it's a minuscule. We are not even scratching the surface of electronic manufacturing.
Okay.
The industry as such is so huge that low to medium volumes, high mix will have its own traction of growth. High volume will have its own traction of growth. I personally, when I say I, we personally don't see that a issue or a constraint in scaling it up.
Okay.
And going forward, as the sort of journey pans out, we would be taking calls on how to maintain the scale of growth. But for the short to medium term, the segments where we are working and the segments where we are planning to work offer us a huge opportunity for growth in line with what we have planned internally. The low to medium volume business is not a constraint for growth because we are just touching not even scratching the surface of electronic manufacturing. The opportunities are so huge, and now with the focus of the multinational companies shifting to India, a pipeline of inquiries from multinational companies, both for domestic and global demand, is phenomenal. But then they take time. It doesn't happen overnight. The international agreements and arrangements with multinational customers, it is 12 to 18 months sort of a journey where they first visit you, they like you, then their quality teams come in, they do a quality audit, and then the inquiry is coming and all those things, and the sampling starts, the process starts, the products and the processes are validated. So from the time when we first have an eyeball contact with a customer to the time when it matures into series production, could be 2 years, sample production 18 months.
Okay. Okay. And sir, thank you for this. And sir, another question. What levers do we have in terms of growing our ROC? Because let's say compared to, let's say, a larger player, their working capital sales is much better than ours, but they also work on much lower margins. So what do we have in terms of levers to get
our ROC? Levers of increasing the ROC are basically two. One is increase our asset turn, and the asset turn increases your you get more money into. And second is control the working capital in terms of number of days. I'm not talking of the absolute terms. In terms of number of days, to bring it down to sub 70 level, 6 to 8 to 10 weeks level. Jesh, would you like to add? Jesh would like to share some.
I want to also, yes, I get it that when we look at the published ROC, yes, we are quite low at 13-14%. But if you would like to also keep informed that we've just raised about 800 crores in month of September, August 10, and we've just now going to deploy it over 2 to 3 years. So if you remove that, I am not saying that arithmetically correct, yes, what is published, but on the existing business which we have, our ROC is 22% plus. And endeavor is that with the new capex is coming in, we will definitely endeavor to go beyond 24-25% of ROC. That's at least internally we would like.
Well captured, well captured, Jesh.
Okay. Sure. Fantastic, sir. And thank you again. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Bhinde from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the repeat opportunity. I just wanted to understand that, as you said, that there are supply chain challenges in semiconductor procurement, etc., and we are targeting a growth which is like 40% plus. So how are we ensuring that semiconductor supply is sufficient for us for aiming the growth?
See, we grew at 40% last year. We grew at 40% in the half year when the supply chain constraints of semiconductors were at their peak. It is over credibility with the distributors and the manufacturers, supported by the customers, which enables us to meet the delivery timelines and the growth. And the fact that our inventory levels have gone up, that was a conscious decision as a de-risking exercise to ensure enough material is available to meet the supply chain commitments to the customers.
Right, got that. And sir, in the two PLIs that we have won, do we have the customers acquired, or we would still be looking for a customer tie-up that?
The telecom customers have already been acquired. We already started pilot series have been delivered. The volumes have yet to kick in. So the customers are in place, the technology partners are in place. And obviously we'll keep adding more customers in the same vertical. But to kickstart the production and everything, both the technology partner and the customers are in place and tied up.
So just to understand, I mean, what kind of business are we tied up for? Are we able to reach the threshold levels, or, I mean, would we need more customer acquisition for that to reach the...
So with the current set of customers, whatever businesses, we would meet the threshold or exceed the threshold levels required, mandated by the PLI guidelines. But we are not guided by the PLI guidelines. If business is available, we would acquire irrespective of the PLI or whatever. But current customers enable me to claim the PLI.
Great. Great. That's great to know. Those were my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking a follow-up question. So I just wanted to understand, if it's possible, if you can give us some data on how many, what was the component assembly volumes in Q2 and H1 compared to last year?
Sorry, I
just wanted to know, sir, how many components were soldered and just the assembly volume in Q2 and H1.
I think it would be it could be a 5-paisa component, it could be a 500 rupees controller. So we don't go by that. We go by what are the hours of capacity we have got. And if I'm just taking a hypothetical case, if I've got 10 lines, I've got 5,000 hours in a month. If I have 20 lines, I have a multiple of that. So we go by the capacity based on that. We don't count how many components we have placed. So theoretically, we can count what is the rated capacity, what is the actual capacity. But essentially, what we go by is the number of hours of SMT which we have got and how much is the utilization. Because the value of the component could be a 5 paisa or 500 country rupees. So it would be very misleading if I was to see I soldered billions of resistors. They may be worth some thousands of dollars or hundred thousands of dollars. And I solder thousands of microcontrollers, they may be equivalent to a million of dollars.
Right, sir. Got it, sir. Okay, sir. No worries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Moria from Alpha Accurate PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. My
first question was answered. Like, you know, I was wanted to look this debtor days gone up. So you indicated that it is basically because you had deliberately stocked the more inventory for the fulfillment of order. Secondly, sir, in terms of your cash which we are having, like, you know, indicated the capex plan as well as the acquisition. So if you can indicate how much of this portion is going to go for the capex going forward and what would be for the acquisition?
I'll leave it to Bijay because he's more familiar with the numbers.
So out of the money, whatever we have received, we have earmarked about 400 crores for capex, out of which we have so far utilized only 5 odd crores. So the balance may be approximately 400 crores still available for capex thing, and about 120 crores is available for working capital use, and rest is available for any inorganic acquisition or other general corporate purpose use.
Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Mehta from Prudent Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, if you can explain the strategy in a bit detail to achieve a 50% growth.
Chintan, your voice is not audible.
Not, can we speak a little louder? We can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
Sure. Sir, if you can explain the strategy in a bit detail to achieve a 40% growth.
Sorry?
Strategy is the strategy for how do you achieve 40% growth.
Sandeep, would you take that or should I take that?
I have a very interesting way of describing this, but I mean, please bear with me. When you go fishing, we're doing two types of fishing. One is whale hunting and the other is normal fish laying out the net. So we do both. When we whale hunting, I mean the named customers that we're going after and really working to make sure that they come to us. And then the laying out the net is catching what in our chosen domains we can catch. And those are the two areas. But of course, in the traditional way of hunting and mining, our mining part is what you're seeing right now, that work that we had done 2 years back. But now we are driving more for next engines of growth. And like I said, this is a Y2K moment for India, in the sense the sudden spotlight is making sure that most credible players get the attention. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons we listed the company also, because that was the question we got, why. Because we want to be, you know, not only leaders in defect-free manufacturing, we also want to be leaders in governance. You know, we want to be leaders in giving return to shareholders. All those things are very important to us. So with that, we get the, you know, best customers as well. Best employees, best customers will work for us, will work with us. So that's what we are really aiming for. So we want to make sure that all those engines, you know, make sure that this opportunity that is presented to us can be captured.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that captures in nutshell the philosophy of Sirma SGS. We have a de-risk business model which will ensure sustained growth with profits and benefits for all the stakeholders. And for me, all the stakeholders start with my employees, customers, vendors, and the society.
Yeah.
And investors in any case. Without that, we wouldn't be here in this call. We are here because of the investors.
Yeah. Sir, can I say that the wallet share gets improved when the products get upgraded in terms of engineering or design?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. You see, one of our strengths has been that when we enter with a customer or engage with a customer, over a period of time, we have the highest wallet share with him for the product which we supply. We would never, very rarely would be a number three or number four vendor to our customer. We would be either number one or at worst number two vendor with our customer over a period of time. We may enter small, but gradually with the service and the value addition which we give because of our design-led approach, we tend to capture the wallet share with our customers.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh from East Lane Capital. Please go ahead.
Just hi sir, congratulations on the very strong results. I have a couple of questions. The first one is I wanted to understand what is theoretically the asset turn which the SMT lines could reach on the higher side. And the second question is wanted to understand what is the margin profile around the value chain, like in the box build or the plain assembly, like what the margin difference between the value chain? That's it.
Theoretically, if we were doing a very high volume product, the asset turn could be 10 to 12 times, but we factor in 8 to 9 times of the asset turn would be what would be good. That would also depend upon the type of product which we make. On the margin profile, there is no one single answer. The margin profile keeps changing because of the value addition which we offer to the customers. With box build, the capex is less, the value addition is more, so in terms of the value of the product increases because of that. So obviously with box build, the return is higher than vanilla PCB board on an average. But the real meat in this is the value engineering and the design support which we give to the customer. That's the key differentiator from a plain vanilla EMS manufacturing. This brings in customer delight, because we have strong engineering footprint, as Sandeep had explained in the opening remarks. It's in the genetics or the DNA. So even if the customer doesn't ask for it, when we are making a product, we go back to him with value engineering propositions. That's where the whole sort of meat in the business is. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, yes, it does. One small follow-up on the asset turns of, is it only the SMT line capex, or you're talking about the total capex, which could include some infrastructure investment as well?
When we talk of capex turns, we take in the total infrastructure, but the return actually is given by the SMT line. Though it gets sort of divided by the overall capex, I may create a 5 lakh square feet of building, and if I have only one SMT line, it cannot give a return. So the SMT lines are the heart which churn out the material, which results in a higher turn on the total assets. If I was to take only SMT lines, then the figures would be sort of different. When I am referring to 8 to 9 or 10 to 12, it is the total asset base or the fixed asset base of the company, including infrastructure.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the chairman for closing comments.
I think I've run out of words, but thank you so much for all of you for being here. I mean, like I told you, this is a huge opportunity for India. I mean, honestly, if you look, all our neighbors have really benefited from electronic manufacturing, and now that our government is supporting, the policies are in place, I think this is the time for India. So really the huge opportunity that is presenting us, and we really, really feel, at the same, very accountable to deliver on these results, for the nation as such, to build this nation. So thank you so much for being here, and thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.